Welcome back to Lakes, Woods, and Irons with Chris Foley. Colin McDonald with you, 1380 KLIZ, The Fan. This segment brought your way by Holiday Stores of Cross Lake and Mill Avenue. Stop there before and after your round for drinks and snacks and fuel at the Holiday Stores in Cross Lake and Mill Avenue. Chris, first week in the books on tour, kind of interesting results, and it was a kind of a star-studded field, of course, at the Colonial. And Daniel Berger is the quiet guy in hiding, isn't he? Because he's one of the very best players out there right now, and he showed it again this week.
Yeah, you know, he has not played. He's kind of flew under the radar about the last 6 months.
Yeah,
and
somehow.
He had a wrist injury that kept him from playing very well for the last 18 months. But in the last 6 months, he's quietly kind of moved up the rankings in the leaderboard, and he had a great weekend, first tournament back.
Did he come out in that Spieth Thomas time period when all those young guns were coming out?
Yes, he's the same graduating class of those guys, or high school graduating class, I
guess. Yeah. And I think it was his 28th round in a row under par. He's like 19 rounds ahead of anybody else on tour as far as consecutive rounds under par.
That's pretty impressive.
And a good young player with him, Colin Morikawa, lost on the first extra hole. And I guess you would maybe expect it late on the fourth day. A lot of big players were just missing the 5 foot, 4 foot, 8 foot putts that were really had a lot of pressure on them, lip outs and that kind of thing. And maybe first tournament back, that's not all that surprising, but some great players were missing putts.
Well, with 5 holes to go, I think there were 14 guys within 2 shots of the lead.
Yeah, yeah.
And there were certainly a lot of guys that leaked oil coming in.
Yeah, there were, yeah.
And I like you said, I'm not sure if that is a lack of tournament play in the last several months or just pressure. What happened there? But there were some surprising misses and bad shots.
Yeah, Morikawa missed a 4 footer and a 6 footer, a 4 footer to win it on the 72nd hole, and a 6 footer to keep it going on the first extra hole. And Schauffele fluffed about maybe a 2 footer, 20 inches on 17, coming in, lipped it out, or he would have won the tournament. So, or would have
there were a bunch of putts missed on 17 and short putts.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't get to see much of the tournament. But it sounds like that pin placement was in a really tough spot, and there were a bunch of missed putts there on Sunday.
And the Incredible Hulk joined the PGA Tour this year. Bryson DeChambeau. We've got Mike Napoleon coming up with Super Speed Golf, and we'll ask Mike's opinion as well. But DeChambeau gained another 20 pounds. They say and you don't have to do anything but look at him to see it's all muscle. Not an ounce of fat on the guy, but he looks like a bodybuilder from the Olympics or something, Chris.
Yeah, he is a big boy. He's gained 40 pounds since the first of the year, and he's picked up some club head speed. And I think he averaged 336 off the tee for the week. He was number one in strokes gained driving. He's an interesting guy. He's very polarizing.
Yeah, he is. Yep.
He doesn't do many things conventionally, and it's going to be very interesting to follow his progress. There aren't too many guys that have bulked up like he has and had success. You know, if you look at Tiger, he got so big and chiseled and did play very good for a period of time like that, but sustained some injuries from that.
Yeah.
If you look at a guy like David Duval, kind of went through the same thing and really ruined his game.
I thought it ruined Duval's career. I mean, they never asked him about that on the Golf Channel. I wish they would, because he came back looking like a bodybuilder and his game was gone.
Yes.
DeChambeau.
He had other health issues as well.
But he doesn't look, certainly doesn't look as fluid as he did.
No.
With all that muscle.
And then you look like a guy like Gary Woodland.
Goes the other way.
He lost 25 pounds over the lockdown.
Yeah. And they're not that far apart off the tee. But DeChambeau's 30 yards ahead of the biggest hitters on tour on a lot of holes. So that's a pretty amazing, really.
I like the comment that Nick Faldo made. He said DeChambeau gaining all that weight make my knees hurt.
Yeah. Isn't that the truth? And I think Tiger's injuries came from some of that. The rest of his body maybe wasn't ready for all that muscle mass, which DeChambeau could run into, because tendons and different ligaments and joints, they're not made for an extra 40 pounds of muscle in some cases. So, I mean, I wish him well, and he's probably young enough for these few years, but I wouldn't be surprised to see him go back down in weight later in his career.
It'll be interesting to follow his trajectory here.
Yeah. Well, he's such a mad scientist. He'll keep tinkering, you know that. So,
no doubt.
We do have Mike Napoleon coming up with superspeedgolf.com and also our old pal Glenn Hagberg. He is the director of golf at Madden's. We'll check in with Glennie as well. You're listening to Lakes, Woods, and Irons on 1380 KLIZ. Welcome back to Lakes, Woods, and Irons with Chris Foley. Colin McDonald with you, 1380 KLIZ, The Fan. Find us on Facebook at Lakes, Woods, and Irons, and also Podcast MN, the new landing spot for Minnesota podcasts. Also just Lakes, Woods, and Irons there you can find us. And thanks to our sponsor, Mills GM, the home of affordable luxury, the 2020 Buicks. Chris, very special guest back with us after, I think, a couple of years. So nice to have him back. I'll let you handle the introductions.
I want to welcome Mike Napoleon to the show. Mike is with Super Speed Golf, which is a speed training system, and which something that I've used with a lot of my students, and I've recommended to a lot of people. And it's kind of the one thing that I know if they discipline in using it, that they're going to increase their club head speed. So, Mike, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Thanks for having me, guys.
Mike, before we get started, tell us a little about Super Speed and what you guys do.
We started Super Speed Golf about 6 years ago now. So it's not necessarily new, but we've continued to try to innovate and find the best ways to help players increase their swing speed. The main system that we've been using is something that we call overspeed training. So that's what our standard Super Speed Golf training system really works around, is overspeed training, which is really just a neuromuscular training where we're not really trying to make the player physically stronger. We're not trying to change their mechanics. We're not really affecting their equipment that much. Really what we're doing is trying to access speed that player's already capable of producing, that their body's already capable of producing. But for whatever reason, through maybe injuries or past experience or, even trying to be too technical with their swing, their brain's kind of put limiters on how fast their body is normally responding when they pull the trigger on the golf swing. So by using some lighter weight clubs and allowing that player to move faster, in a very simple sense, we can sort of prove to the brain that their body is capable of making that faster swing. And we see, pretty much immediate improvement in swing speed.
Yeah, for sure. In the last year, I've done a few studies on with some of my students, and anybody who uses it on a consistent basis picks up. And we've actually had some really significant jumps in speed. I've had a couple of girls who have picked up 30 yards with their driver, over 10 miles an hour club head speed, and then couple of boys that have been in the 5 to 8 mile an hour range. So it definitely works if you do it.
Yeah, like I said, it's one of those things that's very scientifically based on what we're trying to do. It has, roots in a lot of different, like, motor performance type science. It's not just, we're using some type of, like, training aid that might affect some type of mechanic of the swing. I mean, this really is a real neurological process of how people move. And we're just, really just, again, proving to that player's brain that they can move faster. And because of that, it's a different and new type of training that, most players have never tried before. So it's like anything that you're gonna pick up from basically ground zero. The initial gains that you can get on it are usually fairly large because it's something that's new and you've never done before. We've seen that to remain true from amateur golfers through professionals all over the world.
Mike, a consistent theme when I give a lesson is almost everybody comes and says, you know, I want to hit the ball further. And I always dive a little deeper with them and find out what they're doing. And you know, a lot of people are on some type of exercise program. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the things I always tell people is if you're going to increase club head speed, you can't just lift weights or do stretching or whatever, but you have to do some form of speed training. And I'm curious what your take is on Bryson DeChambeau, and as big as he's gotten, and he's definitely swinging the club faster, but it seems like for most people that isn't necessarily the route that you need to go to hit the ball further.
I just think it has to be balanced. I think, you know, what Bryson's doing, and I don't know exactly what his program, you know, entails, but, you know, everything needs to be balanced. You know, I think working on, if your main goal is working on increasing swing speed, you know, one of the things that you have to have in that program is some kind of speed training, because if you're not moving faster than your normal swing, then you're not really working on speed. Now, for different players, and everyone's going to be different on that, on the physical side, there may be more or less underlying physical deficiencies that could be really causing, you know, a limit, if you will, on what their physical capacity to help them increase speed could be. So, and the way I would put it is this, is like you might have one player that picks up just our speed training systems and gets huge results right away, and they're, you know, maybe they're physically in very good shape and there wouldn't be a lot of different things that they could do in addition to that, that would help them get more speed on top of it. Whereas player B might pick up the speed training stuff by itself, still get some gains, but at the same time, they might have a lot of underlying physical pieces that if they worked on some of those things simultaneously or got some of those squared away ahead of time, they might get even bigger gains from the speed training. So it really just depends. I mean, I'm confident that Bryson's got really good coaches around him that are making good recommendations to him. And it might be in his case that, you know, strength and, you know, some of the force production that's important out of muscles might have been something that he was lacking previously. And that might have been an area that he really needed to improve to max out where he could go on strength. You know, because it really is a situation on that where everybody's in an individual basis and different, every human being is going to be different. You know, doing it the wrong way, I would say, is very detrimental. Like if you just get somebody and they just go in the gym and get a bunch of muscle mass and they don't make sure that they're maintaining good functional range of movement and, you know, good motor control over the muscles and they're just getting bigger, you know, that typically will cause people to get less speed. But done the right way, I mean, improving strength or the amount of force production that a player is capable of certainly is a path to getting more speed. It just has to be done properly.
And Mike, tell us about the protocol that you use with Super Speed and what's the best way to utilize it?
Yeah, so we have almost a 2-year program laid out on our website that's actually available for free. So, I mean, everybody can just go to superspeedgolf.com and check that out, even if you don't have the products. But, you know, it's really a series of protocols that, you know, you're going to be swinging faster than your normal golf swing all the time using those lightweight clubs first. And it progresses with you over a lot of time. So, like, the initial protocol is not that intensive as far as volume, because none of this training really needs to be intensive on volume. It's more about maximum intensity on each rep. But we do, like, about 39 swings in the first protocol. The level 5 protocol, which, you know, players don't start until they're over almost a year into the training, has about double that. But every single protocol also, half of those swings are going to be on your non-dominant side. So we have players swing both on their, you know, dominant side and non-dominant side, which we find to be very important, has some big impact biomechanically on their ability to create speed and power. So again, you're looking at about, in the first protocol, like 20 swings or so on your dominant side and about 20 swings on your non-dominant side. So it's not a lot of volume, but it is pretty intense, generally speaking, when you do this.
So the time invested in using Super Speed isn't huge.
No, I mean, if you're spending more than about 5 to 8 minutes doing the actual speed training protocol, you're doing something wrong. So, and we recommend 3 days a week with a day off in between for all the optimal results. So, I mean, you're looking at like 20, 25 minutes a week max, probably including your warm up. to start doing this training. I think that's a really high value spend of 25 or 30 minutes to, get the kind of results that you're seeing with your players that, gain 15 to 30 yards off the tee.
You were saying the girls, Chris, with 10 miles per hour, just for both of you, what do you see in, let's just say a 5 mile an hour increase in a 15 handicapper or something? Is there an average gain or just a ballpark type number or no?
Yeah, the average that we've seen over the course of years and thousands of people sending us data is about a 5% increase in swing speed, and that's a process that becomes permanent in about 6 to 8 weeks of regular work with the product. So that all depends on where you're starting, right? So like 5% is 5%. If that's a player that's starting around 100 miles an hour and they go to 105, that's on average about 15 yards. So if it's a player starting faster than that, it'll be a little bit more yardage. If it's a player starting lower, that'll be a little less yardage. But on average, about 5% gain in swing speed.
It's huge on the 190-yard carries that we have all over our golf courses, Chris.
Look, the other thing, too, that you have to consider there, too, is you're not just gaining speed on driver. I mean, that also means that, you're probably going to be one club longer with your irons as well. So not only are you hitting it another 15, 20 yards off the tee, but then you also hit your 6 or 7 iron a little bit further. So, it could be as much as a 2 to 2.5 club, differential in actually the clubs you're hitting into the green out of the golf course. So it is a pretty significant impact on players' games.
Yeah, I'll say. Yeah. Very nice.
No question. Well, Mike, where do people learn more about Super Speed?
Best place to go is our website, superspeedgolf.com. There's a bunch of social media channels you can check out that have tons of content as well. But on our website, we have just hours and hours and hours of different tutorial videos and, other in-depth type, podcasts and things that we've done, webinars that we've done. So if people want to learn more, that's really the best place to start.
Mike, describe your product line just a little bit so people can kind of see it in their mind's eye.
Yeah, absolutely. So, our standard overspeed training system we've had out for 6 years now has three clubs in it. Those three clubs, there's two that are lighter than your driver, one that's slightly heavier. And that's the system that works with just about, it works with about 2 years worth of protocols. Now, we have sets in that system for players of, all different ages and ability levels. So you have systems from five-year-olds, literally we start at about age five with our Pee Wee sets. You have other junior sets, two other junior sets. Then you have some different adult sets. Basically, you have a set for anybody that would possibly need it. So lots of different versions there.
Sure.
And then we also, back in January, came out with a new product called our Super Speed C Club, which is actually a system that's based around something called counterweight training. So just kind of targets more hand and arm speed in the swing, but it's a single club training system that gets that overspeed training effect just for your hands and arms and has its own separate protocols as well. So that's kind of the picture on the golf side. We actually have baseball and tennis products as well now too. So kind of working with the same principles, helping players swing a baseball bat faster and get some more speed on their tennis racket.
Fantastic. Yeah. Very interesting. Makes total sense.
Mike, we sure appreciate coming on the show and sharing about Super Speed and speed training.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We appreciate you having us back. We're here just to help people have more fun with this game. And when you said it, I thought it was pretty telling when you said when people came into your lessons, it was very rare. They always wanted to get more distance. I look at that on the other side. Is in my academies, I've never seen somebody come in and ask to hit it shorter. So I definitely think that we're hitting a part of the game that isn't very important to people and gives people more enjoyment. So anything we can do to promote that, we definitely love to do it. So thanks for having me on today.
Boy, I think almost anybody can afford 5 to 8 minutes, 3 days a week, 20 to 25 minutes a week to get your game better. Mike, thanks a million. That's Mike Napoleon, superspeedgolf.com, superspeedgolf.com for not only information on how to use the product is available for you there. As well, you're listening to Lakes, Woods, and Irons on 1380 KLIZ. Welcome back to Lakes, Woods, and Irons with Chris Foley, Colin McDonald with you, 1380 KLIZ, the fan. also at Lakes Woods and Irons on our Facebook page and Lakes Woods and Irons on Podcast MN, a nice landing spot for Minnesota podcasts. That brought your way by Mills GM, the home of affordable luxury, the 2020 Buicks. Glenn Hagberg, head golf professional at Madden's with us. Glenn, welcome. Glad to have you back with us.
Hey, thanks, guys. Great to be here.
With you and Chris, longtime buddies, and when we first had you on the beginning of the year, we were hopeful that the governor was about to break things right for us, and he kind of did. As far as the golf world goes, golf didn't really suffer as much as some businesses around the country, so that was kind of nice, especially in this part of the country, opened about close to the same time he usually would have, I guess.
Yeah, opening dates were pretty close to on schedule. The resort ended up opening May 8th this year, so I think the East Golf Course and Social 9 opened on 8th. So we lost a couple weeks on those golf courses, but we were able to open the West Course and the Classic pretty much on schedule. And a different, a considerably different pitcher today than looking back just a couple months. And things are pretty good in the golf world. I think Madden's is similar to a lot of courses in the country with, kind of being the only game and a lot of other things not happening. There's a lot of people playing golf and our rounds are up, anywhere from 10 to 20% so far this year. And it's, the really neat thing has just been, there's been a lot of families out playing. And I think that's one of the things that really makes this game great. Not to mention right now that you can be outdoors and it's a perfect social distancing game. And you take advantage of the outdoors, but families and multi-generations can do that stuff together. And I think it's been a real saving grace to a lot of people around the Lakes area and the state and the country to be able to go out and play golf with their family. So
no question about that, Glenn. I live on Madden's Piney Beach West golf course, and I've never seen that golf course busier, including all the years that I spent at Madden's. But it's so much fun to see all the families playing out there in the evenings and kids, and it's just one of the positives of all this mess we're in is the rounds of golf and getting to see so many families and kids playing.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's hilarious. The West is way up. I mean, it's leading the way for Madden's this year, and
I'm sure it is.
It's pretty cool. I think there's a lot of people that pulled their clubs out of the back corner of the garage and dust them off, and like I said, families and kids, like you said, and a lot of people that maybe weren't typically going out to play golf, but it's really a great golf course being able to go out and get the ball around pick the game back up or learn the game on. So
yeah, the organized spring and summer sports, whether it was soccer or track and field or baseball or softball, that equipment maybe is in the corner in the garage waiting to be used. And everybody thought, well, I think we're going to see probably some kids convert over because it's such a great game once you start playing. Who knows, we're going to probably have some kids on future golf teams in the area that really started back at it this year.
I think that's true. I mean, as you guys know, once you get hooked on this game, you don't want to stop. So that's it's a good sign of things to come for the game of golf.
Absolutely.
The Classic, Glenn, I haven't been out yet. I'm going to be out, I think, this week. And what a golf course. It's one of the top golf courses in the country. And I'm guessing all the golf courses really came out in awfully good shape this year. I'm sure yours are no different.
Yeah, all in all, the courses are in really, really good shape. We could use a little bit of rain here this week, which looks like it might be coming, which would be a good thing. But the classic's in great shape. Tee to green, the turf came through the winter. really, really good. And yeah, it's playing, you know, tip top like it usually does. And yeah, ranked 59th in the country right now. So
for my sake, I hope it's playing a couple shots easier per side, Glenn, is it?
I think so.
Glenn, do you have your caddy program up and running this year?
Yeah, we've got that up and running, and it's in effect. So, you know, our tee times before 10 o'clock, play with caddy. Most people play with four caddy, which for those that don't know means that there's one caddy for up to a foursome, and that's when golfers prefer to ride. So golfers are in the carts, the bags are on the carts, and the caddy's kind of out ahead, which is a great social distancing scenario. And we've, of course, had to follow the caddy protocols very closely, both in Minnesota and out of state. And so, you know, we've kind of watched what the guidelines that Pinehurst and Kohler and Sand Valley and Bandon Dunes are putting out. And so we've got a whole script and practices in place for our caddies to you know, be practicing social distancing at all times. And essentially, you know, they're all providing advice, you know, assisting with the round and kind of doing everything, but cleaning clubs for the most part. So,
Glenn, you were talking off air just before we went on about a new green you've added to the East course. Always kind of fun to make a change when you think you're making a change for the better on your golf courses.
Yeah, pretty exciting to get that opened up here. It was kind of Scott Hoffman's last project before he retired in the fall of 2018. And Scott built a new green, which is about 50 yards behind what was the original 15 green. So it adds about 50 yards in length, which puts the total yardage of the hole 535, 540, which is a nice length for a par five. It was a couple things. It's a test green, to see if our native soils, can be used to build green complexes, as we look down the road for future modifications and renovations to the golf course. And, the other thing is to kind of showcase the rolling terrain and movement around the green and kind of some blowout type sand areas that you know, would be very fitting on a place like that, but are sometimes hard to, you know, visualize in the North Country tree line golf courses. So
sure.
It's pretty cool. Right now during the month of June, we're kind of easing in, and so that green is in play Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then once we get to July, it will pretty much be transitioned to that green full time. And overall, it's a big success. I played it a couple times, and it's really fun. It's got kind of a, you know, big bailout to the right. There's a lot of movement on the green, and that, you know, kind of a big ditch area behind the green. That makes for some fun if you go over, and then a pretty unique kind of blowout bunker to the left of the green. So it's cool. If you come out and play, be sure to let us know what you think of that. We're kind of looking for feedback from the locals on their thoughts as far as making plans for the future out there. So
I'm excited to see that, Glenn. I have not seen that green yet. So take a ride over there one night.
Yeah.
19th hole.
One of my favorite subjects is always the restaurants at Madden's.
Yeah.
Do you have everything open? And
for the most part, everything is open, with some limitations that you know, everyone is doing. Classic Grill is open both inside and outside. Mission Point is open both inside and on the patio, outside on the lake. And Parfecto Pizza is open, I believe, just for dinner right now, but those hours would be online if you looked. And then up around the main area, the Madden Inn and Golf Club, the Lobby Cafe and 19th Hole are open and operational inside. And then, you know, kind of one change with the popularity, well, I guess probably with how nice it's been for the last month and with you know, kind of the popularity and desire to eat outside. The deck overlooking the East Course there, just outside of the 19th hole and lobby cafe, has been busy, and so we've done a lot of our dining outside on that patio as opposed to in the Fairways restaurant. So
a lot of great choices. Yeah, Glenn, the events are down a little bit everywhere. Just well, we not only professionally but also at all the golf courses. Just kind of the banquet type events and those kind of things are a little bit different, maybe off the calendar. I know you've still got a few tournaments going on, and that's almost kind of a time release, for lack of a better word, on as far as foursomes going out and that kind of thing.
Yeah, we, you know, we were able to do our, just a couple weeks ago, our Memorial Weekend parent-child tournament, and we certainly modified that tournament to tee times and had things spaced apart. And you know, it was great. It was great to see, I guess, that was maybe kind of the start of realizing that people were just, you know, hungry to be able to get out and do something. So we had a lot of new families that came up and played in that event. And I was the honorary starter on the first tee, which was always a lot of fun. But I observed people at that time, as that was kind of our first, I'd say real busy time, maybe on the tee sheet. And at no point in time during that event did I feel like, you know, anything was ever overcrowded or we weren't able to have a, you know, an environment that promoted social distancing. So I felt really good about that. And now moving forward into the summer, certainly not as many as events and corporate functions as in the past, but we work pretty hard with Camp Confidence on being able to still hold their event and modify that to a tee time start. And again, I think it shows that people are, you know, very, very eager to participate in, you know, an event and get out and see people. And so that event is essentially full and will take place on Friday. So.
Fantastic, Glenn. It's just a great place to play golf, and best place for tee times and reservations. Where should people go, Glenn?
Maddens.com. You can find tee times and any information you need about reservations for the resort or the restaurants.
All right. Anything else you'd like to bring up?
No. Thanks for having me on, guys, and keep up the great work with the show.
Thanks, Glenn.
Appreciate you coming on.
That's Glenn Hagberg, head golf professional at Maddens, with lots of great things going on at Maddens, as usual. So put it on your golf calendar, put it on your restaurant calendar, and have some fun at Maddens. You're listening to Lakes, Woods, and Irons on 1380 KLIZ. Welcome back to Lakes, Woods, and Irons with Chris Foley, Colin McDonald with you. Find us on Facebook at Lakes, Woods, and Irons, and also Podcast MN. Lakes, Woods, and Irons as well, Podcast MN. You can find lots of Minnesota podcasts there, including Lakes, Woods, and Irons, all thanks to our sponsor, Mills GM, the home of affordable luxury, the 2020 Buicks. And also thanks to Craigens Resort, one of our sponsors as well, Legacy Courses, Bobby's and Dutch's, and inside and outside dining. Fabulous opportunities for you at Craigens, including a pretty good teaching pro out there by the name of Chris Foley, who's with me right now. How you doing, Chris?
Thanks, man. Doing well.
Good guests this week. Mike Napoleon, Super Speed Golf. We were just kind of talking off mic, and you're such a student of the game, Chris, and you love the history of the game as well. And for your profession, a teaching professional, and you have a nice bag of tricks that you can dip into. And Super Speed Golf is one of those products that you utilize and has been quite successful with some of your students.
Yeah, I say I've got a lot of tools in the toolbox.
Yeah, yeah.
But Super Speed Golf is really a great tool if you want to get longer, if you want to increase your club head speed. And the other thing I like about Super Speed that we didn't really talk about with Mike is it really is good for the golf swing in general, because when you're swinging the club above the ground like you do with Super Speed, you tend to make a very rounded golf swing. And that rounded golf swing has the club very much on plane, and which, as you know, it's something I spend a great deal of time trying to get people to get the club more on plane generally.
Yeah.
But it's the one tool I can use. If I know if people use it with discipline, they're going to get longer.
Another product that we happened to use in my fitting a couple of weeks back, Chris, was an eyeline golf product, which kind of lines up your hands both on the takeaway and the follow through, and again trying to get that swing more symmetrical, I guess. And it was quite an interesting product, and it was a Chris Foley invention.
Yeah, I worked with Sam Frager at Eyeline Golf to develop that. And again, kind of going back to what we were just talking about the swing plane, it's a clip that you put on the shaft of the golf club. It's got two lasers, one pointing at the ground, one pointing upward. And if you keep the laser within a strip that we place on the ground, the club goes back and through on plane, so to speak. And you can really work on one, getting a good takeaway, and second half the backswing. But what I really like is it really gives you a feel of getting the swing more, the path more rightward or leftward on the downswing, which is hard to conceptualize if you're not used to doing it.
Yeah, it's what, maybe 3 feet long, 2.5 feet long, something like that, and
right.
You just follow the line with the laser and your hands, and then your hands are going in the right place, and you can tell right away. I mean, my inclination was to take it back inside the line, and it takes a little adjusting, but once you get it, you think, oh, yeah, okay, straight, and repetition like we've talked about many, many times.
Right.
Eyeline's a great company. We had Sam Frager on with us a couple of times over the years, and you and he just kind of have similar thoughts about the game. I know you really were a big fan of his putting tools, Chris.
Yeah, Sam's really passionate about the game and helping people get better. And they've got some great tools, and they've got the number one putting aid on the PGA Tour, which is a putting mirror. It allows you to know where your eyes are in relationship to the golf ball. It allows you to line the putter up square, and then also shows your shoulder alignment. And it's a really good tool to get in a consistent setup and to monitor, you know, kind of where your shoulders are going during the stroke.
That's kind of a
and
fun one.
They've got a number of those.
Yeah, you see it. You'll see it if, Golf Channel a lot of times has the guys on the putting green or on the driving range, and you'll see the product. And, you know, of course, I kind of think, I know that guy. I know the guy that made that.
That's right.
And a lot of good players are using it. Another one that I've started to use here last few weeks after I got it, I decided to get the Theragun. John Polkus, good friend of yours, moved from Callaway to Theragun, kind of a warm-up tool with the body, just a I think 1750 or 2400 beats, and it just warms up your muscles on your body like nothing I've ever seen before. And if, like so many golfers, run into the tee with 5 or 10 minutes to warm up after work or whatever the case might be, it's really quite a good product. I've used it at home after rounds of golf, and very helpful as far as any kind of, you know, 60-year-old stiffness the next morning, that kind of thing, and before bed. So, but that's I would definitely recommend it. I was pleasantly surprised how well that product works.
Yeah, it's a self-massage tool.
Yeah.
It is fantastic. And if people heard our interview with John, for me, it's been a game changer as far as how I feel on a day-to-day basis. You know, I spend 10, 12, 14 hours a day on my feet.
Yeah.
And, you know, I used to wake up in the middle of the night all the time with Charlie horses and leg cramps, and which would then affect my back. And but since I started using that, I haven't had a leg cramp in the middle of the night. My back has felt fantastic.
Yeah. I'm very similar as far as leg cramps and that kind of thing. So I've started to use it pretty regular, and I'm going to see results out of it, I know. So what I was thinking was, Chris, Father's Day, you know, this weekend, and maybe you didn't get Dad the gift. If you just go back on Lakes, Woods & Irons Facebook page or Lakes, Woods & Irons on the podcast, you can find some of these outlets for some pretty good golf tools. We've had Trip Bowden with us, an author who's got 3 or 4 great golf books, tripbowden.com. Josh Evanson, what a guy, links to St. Andrews. Ron Reed, the starter at the U.S. Open. So kind of fun reading material there, and then all these products we're talking about. Also, Patrick Scogan and Sun Mountain Golf, we had him on. Highline Golf, Super Speed Golf, Theragun. So there's some ideas there, and to help a golfer out, why not maybe jump online and grab a couple? I know I'm very pleased with a couple of things that I've picked up. So
might be some good ideas for dear old dad.
Yeah, exactly. Is there a better guy than dear old dad, Chris? I don't think
so. That's right.
All right, thank you, Chris. We want to thank our guest Mike Napoleon from Super Speed Golf. And also Glenn Hagberg from Madden's for joining us this week. You're listening to Lakes, Woods, and Irons. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Mac.
On 1380 KLIZ.